welcome to another inspirational message from Pastor Noor. For more information and great content, jump over to our website at elamchurchchristchurchcity.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
So today we're concluding the series. We're looking at blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So this is going to be a very light one, a very encouraging one for us all this morning. I want to start by reading a story that I've read numerous times in this church before, but I think it's just so powerful for us and so relevant to where we're at right now. It says here, about 150 years ago, there was a great revival in Wales, East India. As a result of this, many missionaries came to northeast India to spread the gospel. The region known as Assam was comprised of hundreds of tribes who were primitive and aggressive headhunters. Into these hostile and aggressive communities came a group of missionaries from the American Baptist missions, spreading the message of love, peace, hope, and Jesus Christ. Naturally, they were not welcome. One missionary succeeded in converting a man, his wife, and two children. This man's faith proved contagious, and many villagers began to accept Christianity. Angry, the village chief summoned all the villagers. He then called the family and they had first converted and to renounce their faith in public or face execution. But moved by the Holy Spirit, the man said, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Enraged at his refusal, the chief ordered the archers to arrow down the two children. The boys lay twitching on the floor, and the chief asked, "Will you deny your faith? You have lost both your children. Will you lose your wife too?" The man replied, "Though none join me, I will follow." The chief was beside himself with fury and ordered his wife to be arrowed down too. In a moment, she joined her children in death. Now he asked for the last time, "I will give you one more opportunity to deny your faith and live." In the face of death, the man said, finally, "The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back." He was shot dead like the rest of his family. But with their deaths, a miracle took place. The chief that had ordered the killings was moved by the faith of the man. He wondered, why should this man, his wife and two children, die for a man who lived far away and on another continent some 2,000 years ago? There must have been something remarkable behind this man and the faith of this family. In a spontaneous confession of faith, he declared, "I too belong to Jesus Christ." When the crowd heard this from the mouth of their chief, the whole village accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. You might have remembered this, but late last year, we touched on this topic of the faith paradox. A paradox is a seemingly two truths that appear to be contradictions. For example, fun, run. We all know that one. You know, fun and run should never go hand in hand. Amen, somebody. But in the scriptures, there is numerous accounts of faith paradoxes. And in Matthew chapter 5, probably I would say is the epitome of what a faith paradox is. It's the ultimate faith paradox. Because this scripture tells us that blessed, or I could say, happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How can you be happy in persecution? It just makes no sense. But here we find that this is what the author of the Gospel of Matthew is suggesting to us all today. And so this morning, in the time we have left, I want to just remind us really over what we've just kind of journeyed through the last 7 weeks to bring us to this point in our series. Now, beautiful attitudes really sums up what the Beatitudes really are. Attitudes that a Christian should adopt. If you want to ask the question or you want to find out what does the Christian life look like, you'll find it here in Matthew 5. Why? Because these are the attitudes of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Can I get an amen in the room? And so we find that in these attitudes, they are actually a journey of growth for the individual. It's a journey of maturity. We all start at that position of being poor in spirit. And then we gravitate, we grow as each one comes through. As we grow in the Lord, we're growing in an area of attitude in our lives and in our heart. I love that classic line, attitudes equal altitude. Amen. So the higher you go, the more developed your attitude is, the higher you should be going. The goal of the Christian life is to never stay static. But we're growing from strength to strength. We're growing from glory to glory. Amen. If you've been walking with the Lord for 10 years, but you don't know any more than you did 10 years ago, I say that there is a problem. Because static growth is not the norm. In medical terms, they will classify that as abnormal. It's abnormal for a person not to grow. We all grow whether we like it or not. You know, I'm growing kind of this way these days, you know, instead of, you know, I've stopped growing taller, but I'm growing out more. But we're all growing in some way. In the same way, we should be growing in the Lord. Amen. There should be growth in our lives. And can I challenge you? Can I challenge the individual here in these days? In the days we are in, we need to be growing in the Lord. I mean, if there is ever a time for us as followers of Christ to be growing in God, it is now. And so I want to unpack for us today what it means to be persecuted. Because we hear this thrown around a lot. And there are variances in what it means to be persecuted. I'm going to use this passage that we find in Matthew 5. And again, in verse 10, it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then it goes on and it says this, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil because of me." Let me pause there. What is persecution? Well, Jesus told us what it was. And what it looks like. He said this. He said, blessed are you when people, number one, insult you. Number two, persecute you. And number three, falsely say all kinds of evil against you. There are three types of persecution. Number one, insult. Now, insult is a verbal attack. When you are insulted because of your faith, that is persecution. That is, according to Jesus, a legitimate form of persecution. I don't know about you, but I've lived life for a while now, and anytime, and I've been in certain settings outside of the church, I always say church is safe, right? You know, like you get in these four walls, it's like a safe thing. You can raise your hands, you can sing Kumbaya around the campfire, you know, you can dance around, do whatever you want. No, please stop dancing, but you can do whatever you want. And with very little insults thrown at you, very little persecution. But the minute you get outside of these doors, let me tell you, there is always somebody firing arrows at you. Oh, I thought you were smarter than that. No, you're buying into that nonsense. It's just all myths. It's all fantasy. It's all stories in a book. It's not real. Firing insults at you. Is anybody hearing me this morning? You get insults come in the form of ridicule, comes in the form of mockery. It comes in the form of being accused of being certain things. Oh, you're just a bigot. Oh, you're just homophobic. Or you're just transphobic. Or you're just, you know, you're just irrelevant. Or you're an extremist. You're an extremist. You know, because these are forms of insults that get thrown at you. And that's what it means to be persecuted. And it seems like in our world, and I know I'm painting a negative picture, but it just seems like I'm not blind. I can see what's in front of us. It seems like there is an orchestrated attack on Christians outside this world, in our world. It's like every other religion is fine, but when it comes to Christianity, now the game's changed. I was like, well, you're a Christian. Oh, we don't like Christians. Oh, we're talking, that's what it means to be persecuted. You know, it's not just some kind of an event that took place long ago. This is very real for us today. Is anybody hearing this? Didn't I tell you were going to be so happy and encouraged this morning? What does it mean to be persecuted? Well, Jesus tells us, number one, you're going to face insults. Number two, you're going to face persecution. What did he mean by that? You're going to face not just insults, but assaults. There's going to be physical harm that will come your way. Oh, no, that never happens. Well, read the news. I mean, there's reports that we don't hear. You know, a number of years ago, not that far ago, there were 21 Coptic Christians in Libya that were beheaded because of their faith. Has anybody forgotten about that? When you read, when you go into websites like the Voice of the Martyrs, you begin to see that in nations all around this wonderful 21st century world we live in, there are still people facing persecution because of their faith. Not just somebody insulting them on Facebook now, but actually physical harm. That if they were in certain, and even I've heard stories after story, and I've actually met, like one time in China, when I visited China, I met the adult children of pastors who had been incarcerated because they were running churches. So these were the adult children now in their 60s and 50s and 60s, and they were telling the stories of their parents and what they went through and because of their faith. And they were facing very real harm. The early church were imprisoned. They were beaten. They were tortured. You know, there was we had the privilege of going to the UK one number of years ago. We went to the Colosseum in Rome, and in the Colosseum in Rome, if you've been there or if you haven't been there, there is a cross there, and that cross is to acknowledge the Christians that were martyred in that Colosseum, whose blood was spilt on those. On the Colosseum floors. Are you guys hearing this? This is great just before lunch, isn't it? There's reports of governments and organizations that are targeting Christians. There's reports of ill treatment in welfare camps where there are literally hundreds of thousands who are encamped in there. The Christians are the ones that are ostracized, that are treated more harshly than everybody else. That's what persecution, according to Jesus, I said would happen. You would face these sorts of persecution. And the last one is this. Jesus said this, that there will be all kinds of evil. There will be all kinds of evil that will be said against you. What does that mean? It means there will be those that find out that you're a Christian and they will distort the truth concerning you. They will attack your reputation. They will spread rumors. They will misrepresent you. These are things that the modern church, and actually the church, has experienced over 2,000 years of its existence. Is anybody hearing this morning? The Bible teaches us this. It's John 15. It says, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than its master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you as they will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written. They hated me without reason. This is persecution. It's an attack. It's amazing to me that Jesus, in his time on the Sermon on the Mount, which is where this particular passage is set, that he would describe all these heart conditions that the Christian was to adopt. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers. But it was almost as if that Jesus in those first seven Beatitudes was setting us up to get ready for what was to come. Now, one commentator says of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, that it was actually written with the persecuted church in mind. That this was written with the persecuted, meaning that Matthew's account of the gospel wasn't just for the Jews to understand the lineage of Christ, but it was also in the context or in the time where persecution was rampant amongst the early church. So as he was writing these words, remembering what Jesus had said, recounting and penning these words that Jesus spoke, he was really saying to the persecuted church, take heart. Be of great courage. Be bold and be courageous. He was saying all these things as he was writing down his account of the life of Christ. Is anybody hearing this morning? So that's what persecution means. There is the verbal insults, there is the physical assaults, and then there is the destruction of one's reputation, the evil that is spoken against, and we must be ready for it. Don't be surprised, church. I know many times we love to sing, we love to just focus on the God who was a God of love, that we love to sing, hear messages about the fuzzy, fluffy ducks and the white, and the yellow daffodils and Christianity. But let me tell you something. Christ, in offering you salvation, never said that from this point on you were going to have a carefree life. He never promised that to you. He never said, okay, if you follow me, you're going to be without pain from the rest of your life. You're just going to, everything you touch, it's just going to turn to gold. Yeah, all your problems are going to go away. All your problems are going to disappear. No, he never said that at all. What he did say was, whoever wants to be my follower must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Let me remind you, that cross is a symbol of persecution. It's actually a place of persecution. There's nothing fun about it. When Jesus, the Bible says of Jesus, that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. This is what it means. The joy, there was no ha-ha about the joy that Jesus was referring to. No, this is joy because of grace. The actual meaning of that word joy is joy because of grace. He saw the lives saved. He saw the lives healed. He saw the lives restored. He saw the baptisms there was to come. He saw Holly being baptized and saying, yes, I choose to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. And so he endured his persecution. And then he invited us in. He says, hey, you want to follow me? You're going to face persecution as well. Anybody here? So let's not be surprised when we come up against resistance, when we come up against conflict, when we come up against unfair treatment, it is just as Jesus predicted it would be. This was 2,000 years ago, but man, how relevant is it for us today? But the good news is this, because that's not the end of the story. Because when we read it, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. There's only one righteous person on planet Earth that I know of, Jesus. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let me go to the next point. How do you deal with persecution? So now we understand that there is such a thing as persecution, and it has three forms. How do you actually deal with it? Well, Paul and Silas, they kind of give us a clue. It says here in Acts 16 and 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains became loose. How do you deal with persecution? Here's my suggestion. Praise God through it. Here's my recommendation to you. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will continuously be on my lips. I will worship the Lord with gladness. I will worship the Lord in spite of my sickness. I will worship the Lord in spite of my suffering. I will worship the Lord in spite of my pain. In spite of my persecution, I'm going to worship the Lord. God didn't say, worship me when everything's good and when everything's happy and everything's fine and pristine. He said, worship me. He just said, worship me. And I just think for us here today, come on, the number one, how do you deal with persecution? You praise the Lord. Come on, let the praise of the Lord. In prison, incarcerated, unjustly incarcerated for a crime that was unjust. The spreading of the gospel, Paul and Silas were thrown in prison, yet they praised the Lord. What does that mean? Does it mean you might be afflicted and harmed physically, but they cannot touch your soul? No one can touch your spirit. There's freedom on the inside. There's freedom. You might not have freedom on the outside, but you'll have freedom on the inside. Come on, you can worship the Lord in spite of all of this. Amen, somebody. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's the second thing you do. How do you deal with persecution? Number one, keep praising the Lord. Number two, focus on eternity. Come on, like I said before, this stuff, this place we're living in, this world, it's temporal. It's temporary. Nothing in this world will last. But the Bible says, and the Bible teaches us, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And there's going to be a victorious king that will come again. Amen, somebody. And all those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's the hope we have. That in spite of the affliction we face, a pain is just a moment. Come on, compared to eternity with the Lord. Come on, your suffering is just for a short time, but in a moment to be absent. The Bible says this. It says to be absent from body is to be present with the Lord. Paul says, I would rather be with the Lord, but I know I've got to keep doing work here. But if you ask me what I would choose to be with the Lord. Is anybody getting this? Come on, in heaven there is no more suffering, there's no more sickness, there's no more pain, there's no more accusations, there's no more persecution in heaven. Come on, we rejoice with all the angels. Come on, we sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Is anybody hearing this? And the final thing, how do you deal with persecution? Number one, praise the Lord. Number two, focus on eternity. Eternity is real, friends. But number three is this. Remember, you're not alone. Come on, through your persecution, you are not alone. Luke 9 and 26, it says this, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." John 16, 33, it says, "I've told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." What do we do? How do we handle persecution? Remember, you're not alone. God's with you. Spirit of God is with you. The minute you say yes to Jesus is the minute the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and into your life. That's what I believe. I can prove it to you in Scripture. But the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit is the advocate. It's the helper. It's the comforter. And it's the one that provides the power of God, the dunamis power, so that you can withstand the work of the enemy. Is anybody hearing this morning? I've got to race through this. Let me say this as I close and invite the team. How do you prepare for persecution? Because can we be in agreement? Persecution is inevitable. In all its three forms, or one of those three, you will, in your lifetime, as a follower of Christ, will experience some level or form of persecution. Praise God that we live in Aotearoa, and it's a relatively safe place. It is safe for us to stand on street corners and share the good news. It is safe for us to pray in public. It is safe for us to share our faith with individuals and with anyone that would dare to listen. But there are nations around the world that it's not as safe. They face a level of persecution. But we too have persecution. Amen. So if we can agree on that, and we understand that this is how we deal with it, we praise God, we focus on eternity, and we remember we're not alone, then the last thing is this. Can I just say to us, how do you prepare for persecution? Well, Paul told us how to do it. The Apostle Paul, he said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." Can I just pause there for a minute? When you look at individuals and they're firing their accusations at you, remember, it is not them that you should be projecting your anger at. Amen. There is a spirit behind that person. Our fight's not against flesh and blood, but it's against, this is what the Bible says, against the rulers, against the authorities, against powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Then it goes on, Paul says this, "He put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, so with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And then here it is. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Did you get all that? There's a lot in there. It's a whole nother series. Let me just try and land this message. Let me just say to us, that we have the authority of heaven and earth within us. And the weapons of this warfare, the Bible says, are not of this world. We fight not with swords, but we fight with the sword of the Spirit. Are you guys getting that? Can I encourage us as a church? You've got to be ready. Got to be ready. I think it's in Peter. Peter says, be ready to give an answer. You got to be ready. If somebody asks you, okay, now defend your faith. Defend what you believe. If you say you believe in Christ, then tell me why. How many of us right now will be able to give an answer? Come on. But we've got to be ready. The Bible says to be ready in season and out of season. Regardless of how we're feeling, that faith we profess, that Lord we choose to worship, we would defend for the rest of our lives. That's what it means to follow Christ. I know you guys want something a little bit lighter. But this is the world. It's the world we live in. I'm just so thankful that I know my limits. I know my limitations. I'm just so thankful I know Jesus enough to call on the name of the Lord when I'm in need. Now, that's all we need to do. Just call on the name of the Lord in our times of need. Is anyone hearing this morning? Would you all stand with me? Come back next week. Is it going to be a little bit lighter than this next week? But I think we need to know the truth. Amen. We need to be aware of this stuff. And see, this is my thing. I feel like we can do church and not have God involved, the Holy Spirit involved, or even Jesus involved in it. I think we've programmed church so much that we can just turn up, sing kumbaya, you know, clap in time, whatever, and then walk out these doors and there's no change in our hearts and our lives. And I believe that's what the enemy wants. He wants a church that is complacent or a nominal. They're just, you know, we kind of believe this stuff, but not really. Is anybody hearing it? But I believe, I saw it one time on a YouTube clip, that Christ is wanting us to grow, like I said before, from believers to disciples, from disciples to a church, and then from a church to an army. Come on, from believers to disciples, from disciples to a church, and from a church to an army. I believe God is raising up an army whose weapons are not of this world. They fight with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God in their hearts. And every attack that the enemy brings at them, they lift up the shield of faith to protect themselves. Come on, they fight with the sword of the Spirit. Close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for every single one here this morning. I thank you this was a divine time for some people here today. Some people needed to hear this message. Some people needed to hear this message. I pray it would sink in their hearts. They would see the reality of the world in which we live in and recognize they have more within them than they currently believe. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are more than conquerors. You are overcomers in this world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
This has been another great message from Elim Church, Christchurch City. For more content and updates, come see us on our Facebook page or jump over to our website. Thanks so much for listening.